This episode is brought to you by AARP. 10 years from today, Lisa Schneider will trade in her office job to become the leader of a pack of dogs. As the owner of her own dog rescue, that is. A second act made possible by the reskilling courses Lisa's taking now with AARP to help make sure her income lives as long as she does. And she can finally run with the big dogs. And the small dogs, who just think they're big dogs. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
Hey, it's Rachel Cook, your modern mentor. I'm the founder of Lead Above Noise, a firm specializing in activating workplaces, helping leaders create the conditions that unleash bigger results while engaging our teams. So one of the conversations coming up on repeat these days is about burnout. Yes, still. Like, we all know it's a problem, we all talk about how to fix it, but nothing seems to be getting better, at least not in my universe. My philosophy is it's not a big singular problem to solve, but it's something we need to attack in moments, in increments. So I'm always on the hunt for small strategies my clients can use to slowly dial back the horror and overwhelm. Today, I would love to share just a handful of questions that I encourage my clients to use with themselves or with their teams when they're staring down to-do lists that seem to get longer by the minute. Sometimes just a moment of pause and reflection can help us find clarity in where to best invest our time and energy. Because the key to doing this well, it's not just asking, should we do this? Because it's hard to say no to that. No, the key is asking better questions that help us to effectively prioritize so the most essential to-dos rise to the top of our list for the right reasons. The first question is, will this teach us something valuable? Our typical to-do lists are full of things that, well, we need to do, like attend that meeting, review that spreadsheet, hit that conference, read that article, draft that email, and on and on. But the problem with such a list is that it doesn't offer us a way of discerning, of asking and answering, should I actually do this? Because our time and energy aren't in endless supply. And being great at your job is not about how many things you can do, but how effectively you get done the things that matter most. And often this means making choices. This first question, will it teach us something valuable, is a great place to start, because it's helping us consider whether the time spent will be just time spent, or whether it will be investment in our future. Take that meeting you know you're scheduled to attend. You know what you have to contribute to that conversation, but does it have something to contribute to you in return? You'll get there, you'll share your update or your opinion, and that's important. But is there something you might learn in this meeting? Will there be a discussion about a new tool or a competitor you're interested in learning about? Will there be a conversation about a team that you're interested in collaborating with? Spending time getting things done is important, but if we get things done while also driving our own development, then a thing on our to-do list becomes doubly important. If there's nothing for you to learn, then consider, is there a way to skip that meeting? Next question, will this lead to the building of an asset? This question is really asking whether by doing the thing you're solving one problem one time, or if you'll be building a solution that you can use time and again. Like, maybe you've got a client pitch to work on. Rather than just building the one pitch for the one client, is there a way you can use this time to build a thoughtful template or approach that your teammates will benefit from in the future? Or maybe there's a conference you're considering attending. By going, will it be just about your network and your personal learning? Or can you commit to bringing some tools or insights back to the organization that will benefit others? Think broadly about how activities on your list have the potential to deliver value beyond this one to-do, and prioritize those over the one-offs.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 10 years from today, Lisa Schneider will trade in her office job to become the leader of a pack of dogs. As the owner of her own dog rescue, that is. A second act made possible by the reskilling courses Lisa's taking now with AARP to help make sure her income lives as long as she does. And she can finally run with the big dogs. And the small dogs, who just think they're big dogs. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
Are you a PR professional, journalist, marketer, or writer? Then you know the importance of Associated Press style. And you also know the frustration of keeping up with its ever-changing rules and recommendations. I'm Mignon Fogarty, better known as Grammar Girl, and to help you with those challenges, I've created a course that you and your team don't want to miss. It covers the latest updates to AP style, and we even talk about the new AP guidelines for writing about and experimenting with AI. And we have a special deal running right now. If you purchase the on-demand course with the code MCMIL, that's M-A-C-M-I-L, you get a $90 discount. So whether you're working on a pitch, a business agreement, or a story, don't let embarrassing writing mistakes hold you back. Get the course at bit.ly/grammaron-demand, all lowercase, and sign up with the code MCMIL.
Hey, it's Rachel. If you're like me, then you love hearing from inspiring leaders, especially when it comes to the bold decisions they've made on their journey to success. That's why I recommend checking out the new season of Deep Purpose from Harvard Business School. Renowned business mind and HBS professor Ranjay Gulati sits down with executives from companies like Levi Strauss, Unilever, and Alaska Airlines to discuss the courageous business decisions they made and the impact they had. Don't miss out. Listen to season 2 of Deep Purpose wherever you get your podcasts. And tell them I sent you.
Next question. What will we be passively saying no to? Because one of the fastest paths to burnout is an overloaded plate. So a yes to one thing should always be a no or a not now to something else. Before you say yes to a new thing, look at it in relativity to whatever else is on your plate. Should you work on that new onboarding plan or knowledge storage system, patient satisfaction survey? The real answer is it depends on what else you could be doing. If you're in a healthcare field, I'd imagine, for example, that patient satisfaction is more important than a lot of things, but maybe not more important than patient safety. So a patient satisfaction project should probably be a yes, unless it means deprioritizing a patient safety issue. Does that make sense? So look at the totality of what's on your plate and choose not what matters, because it all does, but what matters most right now. Next question, is there a collaborative opportunity? Sometimes the most important work isn't defined just by the outcome, but by the experience it creates. If working on one project has the potential to bring multiple teams or functions together, and it might teach them how to share resources, how to better define handoffs, how to anticipate needs in other parts of the business to support better decision-making in the future, then it might be worth taking on as a learning and development experience. So consider not just what the output is that you'll accomplish, but also what opportunities something might create for the organization to learn and grow from it. And finally, is there a faster route to the same finish line? Because we've always done it this way. That is the worst, am I right? The frequency with which I still hear this from companies blows my mind. Why do you need 10 people to interview a new hire? Because we've always done it that way. Why do you need approvals from 3 different functions before you hit go? Because we've always done it that way. You get my drift. Once we have a way of doing a thing, that is the way we do that thing. But what if there were a faster, a more efficient and innovative way to get to the finish line? We look at things on our to-do lists, and we can often estimate how long and how much energy it will take based on how we currently do it. But is there a faster way you could imagine? When the process or protocol is the thing slowing you down, challenge yourself to try something new. Can you repurpose something so you're not starting from zero? Can you pull key decision makers into one conversation together so you're not waiting a month for their consecutive approvals? Can you run a pilot program or campaign to learn if it works before you build the whole thing out to perfection? Be creative here and see what time and energy you might win back. If you take nothing else away from today's episode, then please just take this. In the face of overwhelm, we should all be questioning what we're taking on and how we're getting it done. Simply adding without subtracting is a losing strategy. And I hope something on this list landed for you. Join me next week for another great episode. Until then, visit my website at leadabovenoise.com if your workplace could use an activation boost, a talk, a workshop, a pulse check, you choose. You can follow Modern Mentor on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Find and follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks so much for listening and have a successful week. Modern Mentor is a quick and dirty tips podcast. It's audio engineered by Dan Farabend. Our director of podcasts is Brandon Getches. Our podcast and advertising operations specialist is Morgan Christensen. Our digital operations specialist is Holly Hutchings. Our marketing and publicity assistant is Davina Tomlin. And Cameron Lacey is our marketing contractor.